It's time for 41 is the Mic, a weekly Chiefs podcast with Nick Jacobs of KSHB 41 and Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest. 41 is the Mic starts now.
Welcome, everyone, back to another episode, a special episode of 41 is the Mic. We are here on day two of the NFL draft, a recap. A big night for the Chiefs. One pick. But it was an entertaining pick, absolutely. We will get to it. I am Matt Derrick with Chiefs Digest alongside Nick Jacobs, draft board enthusiast from KSHB 41. Nick, you are 2 for 2 so far on your draft board.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, man, I'm going to be rooting for a clean sweep tomorrow. If the Chiefs can get somebody on the board in each round, that has been my ultimate goal, and I still have not accomplished it yet.
So far, the Chiefs have taken two players that I suspected that they would take, but had really didn't. Not that I didn't think that they wouldn't take them, but wasn't convinced that they should. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it also is one of these things where it also fits into the category for me that sometimes a player that I have concerns about, if the Chiefs take them, I suddenly have less concerns because I know that they do their homework on certain things and if they feel comfortable about a player. And certainly after meeting the two players the Chiefs have taken so far, and Xavier Worthy and Kingsley Suamadia, these are two impressive young men. And young is the case because Chiefs have gone young. I mean, Worthy was the third youngest receiver in the draft class this year. Suamadia is a true three-year player out of BYU. Pretty young for a BYU player. He's only 21. So notable to me that the Chiefs are going that direction, because I know that they have liked to go in that direction, especially with some older classes right now. But Kingsley Suamadia, what did you like about him, Nick?
With Kingsley, the first thing is his size. He's got good size, got good arms. But my favorite thing that I liked about him when I was watching him on tape is his punches. He's got good punches, and he locks on, and he takes the defender for a ride sometimes. I am not upset about the pick. The only part that I had concerns from watching on tape was how he did versus some speed rushers, because whenever they fly by on like a loop or a twist, or they do a spin move to him, he wasn't as quick as you'd want him to be on the inside move. So that's where that's going to take a little bit of time to get him up to speed in that regard. But, and also if they can get his pad level down a little bit, just a little bit, but and that may be just him kind of, you know, getting a little bit of, I don't know, maybe little, if he has anything to be able to take off a little bit weight wise, and turn, maybe, you know, turn that into a little bit more muscle if he can, however they do it with their strength training and everything, and just get him down just a little bit on that bend, then I think he can be a very dominant run blocker. But, I mean, collectively, he's one of the tackles I'm not upset that they're coming out of the draft with. They needed to get a tackle, somebody who had a lot of promise and had good size and strength and could compete, and he checks every single one of those boxes.
And for 6'6", 325, he seems to carry the weight pretty well. I mean, he doesn't look like a tubby offensive lineman. I mean, he looks like a you know, fairly lean and light on his feet and has good movement.
Yes. Yeah. And then just the thing you and I never get to see, and most of us don't ever get to see, is what their personality's like when they're getting asked questions, what their demeanor's like, all that type of stuff. And I feel like you probably won over the media workroom. Obviously, I wasn't personally in there. I was busy producing a show, but I happened to pop in on the Zoom and ask you a couple questions. And that's one of my favorite parts of that, is that I can still do that and I don't feel completely disconnected from the media workroom on draft weekends. But like, just his story about Chris Jones was just fantastic. And then, you know, I got to ask him a couple football related type questions that I always loved to ask offensive linemen. There's a couple others. If I had time, I would have, but, you know, being respectful, and the Chiefs were kind enough to give me two questions that, you know, I wanted to make him count and kind of showcase, see what he's like from an offensive line perspective. And He had some great answer for that. The Chris Jones answer was hilarious. And like, he just had such a good demeanor, such a good personality, very humble guy. You can tell he wants to work. You can tell he likes to go out and work. I wish we could have got him a couple of days ago when I reached out to try to get that on Tuesday. And unfortunately, he wasn't going to be available. But, you know, it was worth it to be able to kind of listen to him today. And I think if you and I had gotten him in advance, I think we would have had a lot of fun with him on one of those podcasts. But hey, people have seen us literally every day this week. If you think about it, Sunday through Friday now.
Yes.
And Saturday, people may not see us, but Sunday, be right back. So I'm just saying, like, people have had to deal with us all week long. I apologize.
We do appreciate you dealing with us. So yes. Yeah, we have had something out every single day. And
yeah.
Maybe everybody's fortunate that we didn't have one more with Kingsley. But he entertained us. So if you have not yet seen the presser, I mean, it's here on the Chiefs Digest channel. So if you're watching on the YouTube, you can absolutely go see that. He, as they say, the cliche, Nick, he won the press conference. Yeah, his answer to you about his favorite block, and needlessly bringing Nick Bosa into it to drag him a little bit was fantastic.
I didn't intend that. I just want to make that clear.
No, you were not going for that. He purposely just wandered out of his way to poke Nick Bosa, and that was fantastic. And yes, his impersonation of Chris Jones and description of the conversation and calling Chris Jones the bear who eats offensive linemen, you need to see it. And also, I mean, you know, this kind of reminds me a little bit of our conversation that we had with Joe Alt, you know, when I asked him if he had any idea about who was going to be taking him. Kingsley was pretty sold that the Chiefs were taking him. Mm-hmm. If for no other reason than Andy Reid said, hey, we're going to come get you. And he did. He came in on a 30 visit, and you know, so that's one of those visits that they spend the entire day meeting with the coaches, and they'll get medical exams and all these things. And I guess apparently he just spent most of the time talking to Andy Reid about BYU. So that's all Andy Reid wanted to talk to him about. But Brett wanted to keep have him come in and really just, you know, find out more about him. And obviously they learned what they wanted to. And I can see what they like. I mean, he's a very likable kid. You can see why he was a leader on that BYU team. Obviously, you know, we got to talk to Mike Borgonzi after the third round, and he talked about the fact that there's a couple of things that stand out from that discussion with Borgonzi, and one was certainly that, you know, hey, BYU moving to Big 12 was a big deal. You know, getting to see him against Big 12 competition and him being able to elevate himself and test himself against some bigger schools, bigger programs, bigger teams, bigger players was important to his development. He could have gone back for another year. If he had, maybe he's a first-round pick. So, you know, that's one thing. The other thing is that, you know, the Chiefs and Brett Veach, Andy Reid, and Mike Borgonzi tonight, even going back to the combine, they keep talking about competition at left tackle. And they got what they wanted. They want Wanya Morris and Kingsley Suamadia to have a one-on-one, mano-a-mano battle for the left tackle position between now and September. And I think they should get it. So they feel like the competition is going to push both of these players to be better. And that's kind of their long-term goal. I mean, they would love for in 3 years that they've got these two guys as their bookend tackles. We know they're going to have Juwan Taylor for a little bit longer because of his contract situation. But they feel like, hey, they would not have drafted Kingsley if they did not think that he could beat out Wanya Morris. So it doesn't mean that Wanya's lost the job. Mm-hmm. It just means that these two guys are going to have to fight it out, Nick.
Yeah, they're both going to get the opportunity to earn it. And whoever gets a starting nod is going to earn it, because the Chiefs aren't going to take lightly who's protecting Patrick Mahomes' blindside. So even if that means Wanya Morris starts off early in the year and then Kingsley gets up to a certain point where he's starting by a certain point in the year, then I think that's possible. I think that's on the table. But it just struck me two things real quick. I wonder if the reason he said what he did about Nick Bosa was because of his cousin, Penei Sewell, going against him in the NFC Championship game, and maybe there's something there.
Could be.
That's kind of why I wonder if that's why that was said. I wonder if Bosa maybe said some things to Vinay that stuck with him, and he got relayed to him by his cousin. To go out of his way to say that now, and that's where the wheels are starting to turn on that one. But then, yeah, just the other part of it is like they, I feel better about where they are because they did get a speed receiver. They did get a very quality offensive tackle. The only kicker is there's a couple things obviously in day three that I'm looking for. And if they get those done, like, I just don't know if you could ask for a better draft in terms of like just adding pieces to make yourself stronger than what you were the year before.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was two different ways the Chiefs obviously could have gone about this. These were their two biggest needs that they've addressed. Mm-hmm. Going receiver and then tackle. They obviously could have gone tackle and then receiver. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I mean, and the Chiefs got what they wanted. I mean, Xavier Worthy is certainly the high end of all the receivers that they could have gotten. You look at the receivers that they could have gotten at the end of the second round, and I mean, they frankly feel there's a big gap between the options that were available then and what they're getting at Xavier Worthy. And Worthy is a gap that they wanted to fill. He is going to be the Z receiver. He is going to be playing the same role that Tyreek Hill played at the beginning of his career with the Chiefs. You know, they feel like that they can get him, Hollywood, and Rashee Rice on the field at the same time. And, you know, and that can only help everybody on the field, and including Travis Kelce, too. You mentioned going into day three, and that's one of the things we're going to be looking at and talking about next is, you know, what's left for this team to do. And one of the things that I know, I mean, let's start with the big needs, I think, first, yeah. Nick, obviously, is, you know, what are the two biggest needs? I think that's probably pretty clear, right?
I don't know, Matt. What do you have? And we'll go from there.
Well, I'm going to go with interior offensive line, and okay. I'm going to go with a running back.
Matt, you know it. I'm so proud
Boom.
Of you. We're on the same page. Now we can still do a podcast together. Yes. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Because, I mean, interior offensive line, I'm selfish. I'm going to put all my cards on the table here right now, okay? I'm just going to put them out there for everybody. I want to see the Chiefs get one more wide receiver with this class, with what's left and what's available. I want to see them take a chance on somebody else here. Because the fact that Javon Baker's still out there, that Troy Franklin's still out there, Malik Washington, those are guys that I'm intrigued by. And then obviously, you know, Jamari Thrash, Jacob Cowing, Jaquan Jackson would kind of be redundant at this point with what you got with Brown and Worthy. But and then Anthony Gould would kind of be in the same ballpark. From a running back perspective, I mean, things can heat up there at the end of either round four or five, depending on what they want to do there. Because, I mean, obviously you've got Cody Schrader available. You've got, you know, you've got Vidal from Troy. You've got Dylan Laub from New Hampshire. I mean, like those guys have me very intrigued. Austin Booker somehow still out there right now. I mean, I think it's because of his size, but man, you sneak up and get him and let him develop. Oof, oh boy, that could be some fun. And then I just don't think they're gonna unless they want to try to get Christian Boyd. I don't think that they're gonna get it from drafting. It'd just be a matter of like Briggs from Cincinnati if he's a priority free agent type of thing. I think that's where that is. But, I mean, you know, Leonard Taylor from Miami would be another one that I'm kind of intrigued by. And I know Lovett from Florida State may be another one. Looking at the offensive tackle spot, they probably don't need another one. But if they sneakily wanted to, like Frank Crum from Wyoming and Andrew Coker from TCU could both be promising right tackles for them. But from an interior perspective, the fact that Christian Mahogany and Mason McCormick and even Layden Robinson are still out there. Like, I'm telling you, those guys are all really good interior linemen. If you could get one of them or you get one of those guys and then pair him with either with the Wisconsin center that I have on there, Tanner Bottoli or Hunter Lazard, like, I'm just telling you, man, like, it's there's a lot of good and quality interior there that the Chiefs can go out and get. And if they got two of them, I think they're really in a good position, not only for this year, but for next year. But then when you go down to looking at corners, somehow TJ Tampa's still out there. Kind of surprised on that one. But Taylor Dimmer, Taylor, sorry, my eyesight at this point is just reckless. Taylor Dimmerson from Texas Tech, like, I mean, that dude can play everywhere. He plays all over the field. Like, he's sneaky. I don't know. I mean, like, he's just sneaky good, and, like, he would just be such fun to watch in the Chiefs scheme from a safety perspective. And then my favorites are still out there right now. Kyree Jackson from Oregon. Like, you put him with Dave Merritt. Like, there's going to be fun there. And obviously, I'm curious to see if the Chiefs were able to get somebody like Dwight McLaughlin from Arkansas. Like, that's another individual. And I butchered some of these names because, you know what? It's almost 2 a.m. and I am squinting to look at some of this stuff right now. So I apologize. I don't have it down to a T. It's been a long, long week and a little sleep.
I mean, it is an absolute miracle, Nick, that I have not absolutely butchered Kingsley Suamadia yet. So the fact that I am somewhat mangling it out almost correctly is absolutely baffling to me. You're right. There's some really interesting names, you know, and to me, you know, Christian Mahogany was a guy that I had as an offensive guard that in a couple of the mock drafts. I think he'd be a great fit for the Chiefs. He's a top player I know on your board right now available at guard.
Right.
Chiefs are right now, I mean, at the end of the fourth round. So they've got some work to do. They've got the two picks at 131 and 133 in the fourth. Might be hard for some of these guys who are at the top of the boards right now to fall to the Chiefs. Maybe they have to go get some guys, although I get the sense that, you know, Chiefs have 5 picks left, and I think Brett Veach would like to come out with 5 players. I mean, it's a possibility that maybe they'll come out with 4, but they have very consciously, especially in these first 2, you know, picks, I mean, they made deals to move up in both of them, and they very specifically made trades to get picks back and did not. I mean, I think they could have absolutely moved up earlier to get Xavier Worthy. They probably could have moved up to get Kingsley Suamadia a little bit sooner, too. But to do so would have meant giving up picks. And it also would have meant, I mean, if they had wanted to get back into the third round tonight, you know, Nick, I mean, there was, looking at the numbers as far as the draft trade value, there was no way they were getting in back into the third round without using a third round pick from 2025. And that's not something I would have been interested in, because a 2025 third round pick, because of just the depth of next year's draft, is more valuable than a 2025 pick this year, or than a third round pick this year, excuse me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that didn't make any sense. So, I mean, I think it's very, you know, even though we don't think that this team has a lot of holes, Brett Veach still wants to get as many talented players as he can. So 5 picks, you're talking about a running back, you're talking about an interior offensive lineman, 2. I think they're going to go for a corner for 3. Question's going to be, who are going to be the other 2 players? You know, I still can't rule out necessarily a safety, especially, you know, maybe late in the draft. We'll see if they're going to double dip at wide receiver. I don't think that that's out of the realm. And like you mentioned, I mean, and there's also players that I know the Chiefs are interested still on the board. You mentioned Javon Baker, Malik Washington, I know is another name on your board that they are interested in. Anthony Gould was another player that they had in for a visit. So there's a lot of players that they're still interested in that are on these boards. And I'm with you, Austin Booker. I mean, it's not necessary. I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, defensive end is a sneaky need. I mean, I think that the Chiefs do need more depth there. They need more depth along the defensive line. Austin Booker's a guy I'd take a hit on. So I'd go after him.
Yeah, I mean, there's a point where I'm kind of curious on day 3 here to see if they're willing to go with the best value over maybe where the holes are.
Yeah,
because right now, from this perspective, in my opinion, best value, Malik Washington and Javon Baker should honestly be gone right now. And the fact that they're not is interesting. Troy Franklin should have been gone, and he's not. That's intriguing to me. Are one of those 3 guys going to be available? Like you said, Austin Booker should not be there, but he is. So, I mean, is there something you can do? Is there a play you can make to be able to go up and get premium value there in the fourth round with those picks, because you get 2 of them, is there something you're willing to sacrifice from either the sixth or seventh to get that done? Or you, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I want them to keep both their fourths. And I don't know. In terms of the sixth and seventh, I think that's just a matter of like, hey, do you want to have those lottery tickets available if things aren't going well in like a priority free agent negotiation? Like, do you want to have that, you know, do you want to have those lottery tickets available to where you end up locking them in because you can't get them as a PFA? So I don't know. I'm going to be very intrigued with tomorrow and how it plays out, but I'm not going to pretend that, man, I won't be upset with whatever road they go down. But as I'm telling you, man, as long as I get a speed running back and get some interior line help, I'm like, okay, all right. In the words of Andy Reid, let's roll.
I mean, the numbers are not in their favor from just a draft value standpoint, but we also know that Veach, I mean, he still has a little bit of room to give in the sense that if he wants to upgrade those fourth round picks, I mean, he's got the fifth round pick at 159. Excuse me. Apologize to everybody out there for me sneezing. but he could do what, again, he's done in the first two rounds. I mean, he could trade back that 159, flip it for a sixth round pick, seventh round pick to try and move up some spots in the fourth. I mean, I'm not betting against the fact that, you know, he could include those, the fifth, the sixth, or the seventh as enticers to try and move up into the fourth. But there is absolutely still a chance to get some, you know, when you're talking about running it back and you're talking about the three-peat, there are still some potential impact players on the board, you know, that could help you out this season. Mm-hmm. Now you get to the sixth and seventh rounds and you're really not really talking probably much about 2024 as much as about, you know, taking shots for the future. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about, you know, some guys who might need to play this year because of injuries. I mean, yeah, that can happen. And if it means that maybe you could move up and get a Christian Boyd, or you could get a Christian Mahogany or an Austin Booker, Malik Washington. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's where the value is, isn't it, right? Like you said, Nick, I mean, that's where you, at this point, it's about getting the best player more so than filling a hole specifically.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, I'm impressed with Brett Veach's willpower to not give up that Titans third-round pick in 2025 to move up in the first or second round.
I mean, we joked about the fact that the moment they got that, it felt like it was traded, that it was just like that they were absolutely going to use that. But I thought the only way that they would have used it was to move up in the first, and they probably would have had they been able to make a deal. I mean, that probably would have been the pick to use, but they've held on to it, and tell you what, I mean, that third round pick is going to be pretty valuable next year because I think that the Tennessee pick is going to be high.
Mm-hmm.
So two decent third round picks. Yeah.
Yeah. And it gives you ammo for next year if you do need to move up in the first or second, because, you know, hopefully you're picking super late again in the first round.
You want to pick 32 again next year, huh?
I mean, I'm used to it at this point.
Well, it is going to be another interesting day, busy day with four rounds to go on Saturday. And there will be some other news coming out of Arrowhead. We will, as the media, we will be talking to Clark Hunt. So we'll be talking to him a little bit about this, just the state of the Chiefs, the draft, a whole lot of different topics. Chiefs
stadium.
Are also stadium, you know, where will the stadium be? Yes. And Chiefs are also announcing newest members of the Ring of Honor on Saturday. So, you know, by the time you listen to this, we may already know who the name of it is, but there are, I will just say that there are some very big popular names who are eligible for the Ring of Honor this year, Nick. There's going to be a really good run of big names, but I think that the fans will be very interested in who gets the nod on Saturday.
Hey, man, I'm happy Forever gets inducted. They deserve it. But my eyes are going to be locked in on who the heck the Chiefs are taking in the fourth round. And does it come off the big board?
There you go. I'm right there with you, my friend. Well, we will be back to talk about it on our regularly scheduled podcast on Sunday here on 41 is the Mic. Any parting words from you, Nick?
Nope, not in the trademark. That's about it.
Not in the trademark. Well, we appreciate you for everything that you've done with us and sticking with us through all draft week. This is, it's like Nick said, it's 6 days in a row. So hopefully we haven't completely abused your willingness to hang out with us. It's been great to have you here. We will be back in on your feet on Sunday. And until then,
till next time, I bid you adieu.
You've been listening to 41 is the Mic, presented by KSHB 41, your home of the Chiefs and Chiefs Digest.